Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Andy. I needed to let you know that we are coming down to the wire on RebateJet.com. What's RebateJet? It's a platform I created for you guys, the small to medium-sized sellers trying to compete against those big brands with those big budgets. Go now to RebateJet.com, sign up for that free seller account before it goes away this month. Now, why do you want to be a part of RebateJet? Just a few things. You can list promo codes for free. You can offer 3 rebates free per day. You can list your products and sell them directly to our customers on our website. We even have a free liquidation marketplace for you to unload products that didn't work out. We also have something else crazy in the works. You guys are going to love it. Go now, RebateJet.com. Now onto the show.
Welcome to the Seller Roundtable e-commerce coaching and business strategies with Andy Arnott and Amy Wiese.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Andy Arnott with
Norm Farrar
and
Amy Wiese.
And this is Seller Roundtable number 26, and we are super, super excited to have Norman on today. If you don't know Norman, you've probably not been in the Amazon world for very long. If you go and look at any conference, he's usually the guy in the back doing the photobomb or holding somebody over his head or posing with a beard tie or something quite entertaining. So. Norm, I've got to interact with you a few times. I feel like it's not been enough, but it's great to have you on and super excited today to kind of talk about your background and what you're doing now.
Oh, thanks. It's a real pleasure to be here. Just remember the last time we met up, it was share a ride over to the one event, and that was great.
That was, and I got to find out that you were a fan of Hawaii and lived there for a while, and that's always fun, and Amy shares that same background, living there for a while too. So we've all got the love for Hawaii right now.
The aloha spirit is on this podcast.
Absolutely, it is for sure. Norm, let's get started with a little bit. I always like to learn a little bit of your background, more about you. Share as little or as much as you like. Maybe where you grew up, where you live now, maybe some things you did in the past work-wise, college, school, anything like that you'd like to share.
Yeah, sure. So I'll give you the real Reader's Digest version because I'm a real mutt when it comes to work. So I've been involved with a bunch of stuff. But I grew up, I was from Montreal and then moved down to Toronto and lived in around the New Hampshire, Boston, Seabrook area in Massachusetts for a little while. And then ended up getting into the promotional business. So this is really kind of bizarre, the way that everything's kind of come together for me. I didn't expect to be involved with e-com. I ran a promotions company. The promotions company, the purchasing agent asked me one day back in 1995, whether I wanted to, or if I could put together an e-commerce site for the dealers. And being an entrepreneur, I said, yes. I didn't even know what that was. And I hired a bunch of technicians or, programmers to put it together. So it worked. And from there on in, I started into the e-com business. I've been involved with manufacturing and contract manufacturing. We've owned, and this is a family business, but manufacturing Canada, US. We own 2 factories in Taiwan, which are technically not owned by us. We've owned sourcing business with boots on the ground in China, specialty packaging companies, you name it. And even a tech hub. I had a tech incubator back early 2007 in Tampa for a while. And then one day I kind of stumbled on Amazon and just went to an event. And I overheard a whole bunch of people talking about how crazy difficult this was. I'm sitting here going, wow, this is absolutely my perfect storm. So what ended up happening is I went on to Amazon, did it for myself, but I started helping other people and manage their services. And then after that, I guess the most recent acquisition was PR Reach. So I use press releases when I do product launches. We can talk about that a bit later. But I did. And it was kind of like, what was that that guy back in the 70s? He liked it so much, he bought the company. That's what I did with press releases. I was using them for product launches. They were working. I bought the company.
That's fantastic. That's a great story, and I love that.
It's common. Like, I love going to Amazon conferences because a lot of times, you know, it seems like at least half the time, it's a very similar story to where, you know, a lot of the Amazon sellers are just perpetual entrepreneurs, and they're the ones who saw what was next and kind of moved into the space. And I think it's kind of, you know, coming to the point where, you know, it's fairly well known that there's great opportunity on Amazon, but it's still, you know, when you look at it overall, it's still fairly new. And I think that there's still so much opportunity there. But you definitely see, you know, people getting into it that, that have kind of the entrepreneurial technology, you know, all kinds of different backgrounds coming in, to get together with something that, like you said, is kind of a perfect storm on abilities, which is fun.
Yeah. Now, don't you notice, like, when you go there, you'll have all these people and, you know, you're just talking amongst each other, and you'll have the absolute entrepreneur, serial entrepreneurs that, you know, are going to do their, you know, that they're action oriented. And then you have the people that are just there. It's the next big thing. It's the gold rush, but they're not action oriented. And okay, I'm going to buy $11,000 worth of tools expecting that they're going to be, you know, they're going to make it. And they just plummet because they don't put anything into action.
Yeah. Yeah, completely agree. And I think the other thing is it's a catch-22 with, you know, people learning about other people making money on Amazon. They think that it's very much like, you know, like the Lambo dream, you know, where you just, you can just start and put in a little bit of time and you know, an effort and be successful. And what people don't realize is, you know, most of the people who are being really successful on Amazon are doing it full-time. You know, they're working at it. They're every day, they're, you know, watching you know, videos, they're listening to podcasts, they're, you know, looking at training for marketing or management, or, you know, learning how to manage VAs, or, you know, all these different skills that come along with being an Amazon seller, and having that skill set, and even just basic business knowledge, and then, you know, thinking that they're just going to jump in, make some money and jump out. And it doesn't work that way.
You really do have to put in the time. Even with all of our staff, we make it mandatory that they train at least 1 hour a day. So they get 5 hours free training. I'll buy whatever course it is, and just to expand their knowledge.
That's a fantastic idea. And we actually just started doing that as well. We just bought, you know, just kind of like a course where it was just like a basic, you know, one of those things where I don't want to spend the time to write the super basic stuff. So yeah, we just did that for our VAs and we're letting them, you know, learn that way. And then we're also doing, you know, training for, some of the people who kind of know about Amazon, have gotten, you know, interest in it or just started, but are not being successful, and just trying to show them the basics.
Right.
So when you started out, when did you start on Amazon? What year? And when you did that, was it trial by fire like me when I started, or did you take any courses, or kind of how did you learn, you know, the ropes on Amazon?
A buddy of mine got me involved, and it goes back to the ASM days. Before ASM, it was AM, I think it was AMM. And we went through the course and never got involved until ASM4. ASM4 was about, I think it was about 2.5-3 years ago. And that's where we jumped into it. And it literally was a jump. I wanted to get my product out there, but I overheard a conversation about this, you know, person that was a doctor, and he didn't want to do all this stuff. So I approached him, and I said, hey, I can do that. And so we tried to, you know, manage his Amazon account, and it worked.
Yeah, it's very cool. So I remember, what was it like, not this last ASM, but maybe one or two before that you did a talk. So that you leveled up pretty quickly there in the Amazon space.
Oh yeah, within months we were doing it, but you know, I had it at my fingertips, and that's what I have to explain to people is that, look, most people don't have sourcing. They don't have the logistics. They don't, the Amazon tax that most people had to pay, I already paid in the e-com world, in the shipping world, in the what is going on world. Is that me or what did I do?
No, I'm not sure. Somebody, there we go.
Oh, okay, back there.
I think somebody must have pushed a weird button on their phone or something. I've never seen that one before.
But anyways, yeah, we ended up paying our tax in other ways. So getting up and running in Amazon and finding out, especially perceived value. So I love talking to people about perception. And, you know, most people get out there and they lose their money. They pay their tax because they go out of the door too cheap. Or they're not willing to spend money on, hey, look, if it takes 2,000 units to move to be on page one for this keyword, you got to move 2,000 units. And how do you do that? And you have to figure that out. And the other thing is a lot of people just weren't thinking of it as a business. So we had a business. So, you know, the business we took, and I say we, but, you know, my company, we went exit strategy backwards. We created SOPs. We did whatever we could to make this a business, a real business plan. And if you don't have that stuff, how do you navigate where you're going to go? So that's what I found is most people that jumped in at the beginning just didn't have those tools, and they were bottom dwellers rather than, you know, working at the top, getting the best dollar, making more profit, selling less.
Yeah, you make a really good point there. And this is one that I always kind of, you know, try to get people to understand is, you know, when you're launching a product, especially if you're, you know, really trying to get some traction on it, you know, don't expect to make a profit. And, you know, sometimes a month, 2 months, 3 months, I mean, it really depends on how competitive that product is. But people really don't get that you know, investment equals return type mentality. You know, they're like, oh, I've spent $100 on my PPC or whatever, and I'm in this, you know, this super competitive category, and it sucks because I hate to tell them, but I'm like, that's just not going to work. You know, you've got to invest a significant amount of money, especially if you're in something super competitive. Now, if you've, you know, hit the gold mine and you know, you've got some great product research behind you, and you've, you know, kind of found the unicorn product that you can launch and it's just going to start selling. That's the exception, not the rule. But yeah, I mean, when we launch a new product, you know, you're going multiple thousands of dollars in the hole for multiple months before we start seeing the return. But what people don't realize is, you know, you're red for month one through three, but then, you know, month six through 12 and beyond, you're growing, you're getting more and more profit every single month. You're growing that product because you're investing, you know, part of that money back into the promotion, the PPC, the things like that. And it's just kind of snowballs. And I think that's what a lot of people are missing when it comes to launching products on Amazon, especially today.
And proper capitalization. So all of a sudden a product takes off. And I've seen this this recently happened where a product took off. It was incredible. The pack, everything was really great. But the guy went out of inventory three times, and then he didn't go the fourth time because the product took off. He couldn't afford the inventory. So he just, his brand, even though it was a great brand, it just tanked.
Oh man, that's so unfortunate. Seeing those things it's sad to me because, you know, like I said, though, you know, we're perpetual entrepreneurs. So we're the kind of people who are like, oh, I got this charge card with 20,000, you know, all right, put it to work. You know, like that's, when you said that, that's the first thing I thought of is, you know, when you get into that situation, you know, it's just like going on Shark Tank whenever somebody says like, I can't keep my product in stock, you can see all the Shark Tank, you know, all the guys on the panel's eyes get big because they know that, you know, if you can throw capital behind something like that, then it's just going to keep growing. So that is very, very unfortunate, but also a very good point. So let's slide into kind of what you're doing now. Now, I didn't realize that you acquired PR Reach. I thought you started it, but I'm really excited to hear kind of where you saw the opportunity kind of where, you know, where you saw the market evolving to and how, you know, somebody selling physical products, you know, should think about press releases and things like that.
Okay, you're going to hear a bump in a second. My dog just knocked over a lamp.
that just makes it more fun.
Yeah. So, PR Reach was one of a couple of press release companies that I was using over the last, since 2013. So it was something I was using not only for Amazon, but for other products as well. It was perfect for the Amazon world, perfect for the e-com world. So what I noticed is I went to an event and somebody said that, hey, have you ever thought about using press releases, multiple press releases during a product launch? No, I would do one. So I started doing it, and I did 20 over a period of 1 month. And the product stuck. But I was using, 90% off discount rates. And back in the day, the old school. Then I noticed that, everything, it kept sticking. Every time I launched, it kept sticking. Then the day came where you can't do what they called incentivized reviews. And so we had to change our game plan, and we started using rebates. What we're finding is it's working. And if it's a good quality press release with good distribution and you have the momentum, so sales velocity, you can match that sales velocity with rebates, you are going to stick all day long. And we've got case study after case study after case study. Like, it's funny, like I'll talk to somebody, people will ask me about press releases or what's my launch and rank strategy. So I go and I'll talk to, everybody for, a little while. I'll show case studies. And then I'll hear, well, what do you do to rank? And it's like, what are you talking about? I just told you what our strategy is. It's, what is going on here? There we go. So we use press releases, and it's pretty simple. We'll take topics, and first of all, it all comes down to keyword research. And the keyword research is very similar to what you do with your Amazon titles. So an Amazon title and a press release title have the same power. Amazon titles or the press release title, that's 80% of your power. And when you release that press release, and if you don't do it properly, it's going to be junk. It's not going to be worth anything. So what we'll do is we'll go out there, and this is just the strategy that we use. We'll go out there and we'll take a look at, let's take bully sticks. I use that a lot, so we'll take bully sticks and we'll try to find some really good primary keywords, some buying keywords. Like, I know this, bully sticks made in the USA, grass-fed bully sticks, bull pizzle, odorless bully sticks. And then from that, we'll look at long tails. So we'll get 6, 10, 12 long tails, and we'll just take, depending on search volume, we'll take those long tails and we'll feed those through the press releases, and we'll feed those long tails through the rebates that we're working with. So it's magic. It really is. Like, I actually, if you want, I can switch over the screen and I can show you some screenshots that we took of our last campaign.
Sorry. Yeah, absolutely. And if you can kind of describe them too for the people listening on the podcast, that'd be awesome.
Sure. Just let me see. I don't want to show, this is a client, so I want to make sure I cover up what I did. He wouldn't be too happy.
Yeah, probably.
Okay. So here we go. Just let me know when you can see my screen.
All right. Yep.
Okay.
We can see it. We can see a rank graph, it looks like.
Yeah, there we go. Okay. So here's the background on this one. Very expensive knife. Okay. We missed the deadline. The sourcing company we were working with, we were supposed to arrive in November before Black Friday. It ended up coming in December. So we were kind of stuck. We only got this into inventory December the 13th with the first live date. So what ended up happening is we did a press release, a video press release, 1 week before we actually launched. And then during the launch, this is the launch right here. On Tuesdays and Thursdays for the month. I believe this was Tuesday. It was either Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, then Tuesday, Thursday, then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, then Tuesday, Thursday, or all Tuesday, Thursdays. I don't remember exactly, but as you can see during the launch, this thing just went up. This is a long tail keyword that was buried 219 down on the 15th of December, and it went up, straight up, and it stuck. And as you can see, over a period of time, this is one thing a lot of people don't think about when they're doing rebates, even by themselves, If you're just doing a rebate and then you say, oh, you know, I did it for a month, see ya, and you don't do it anymore, there's a lot of competitors out there and you're going to fail. And I hear people say, oh, I'm not sticking anymore. Well, are you investing anything back in your product? So, you know, rebates. And as you can see, is over time, we just stuck. And so I can try to show you the other, let's see, here's another one. So this is a long tail. And then here's another long tail. And it didn't hit as hard as we thought. It actually declined. And then what we ended up doing over here, so you can actually, I think I even have the press release dates, so you can see that I'm, you know, I'm not fibbing when I talk to you about the press release dates, but it was December 13th and 15th were the first two that went out. And this one was December the 13th, as you can see here. And you can see how, you know, this just took off and it started to fall. And then in April, I think it was April 22nd, we started to hit the press releases again really hard, and it just went back up. And the next one is same thing. These are the ones that we use for the one primary keyword. I think the next one's a primary keyword. Yeah. So this is the beauty of it. There was three long tail keywords. We actually used six, but this was the primary keyword. When I was looking at rebates, and I use Helium 10, so I was looking, going through the Cerebral report, it said on this particular keyword, I needed 770 giveaways. It's a lot of money, especially at $100 a knife. We ended up giving away for the first pop 100 units, and then when we did the second push, we did 60 units, so 160. And not only did we do 160 for this keyword, but there was two other really great primary keywords. So look what happened. We took this primary keyword and it automatically just kind of went up. And look what happened here. It ended up being number one. So this is a very competitive keyword. I think there's 37,000 search volume a month. So next.
Norm, can I ask you about this?
Yeah.
As far as your keyword ranking goes, you keep talking about rebates. Mm-hmm. Is there ever a situation where a product can rank successfully without doing giveaways?
Funny that you ask. I just did a case study on a product. Fairly competitive, like a backpack. And it didn't rank as well as, it didn't stick as well as with rebates, but it went up. And you saw, you definitely saw a difference. But what we did with that one, I think it was two press releases a week for 3 weeks. And we're still doing it, actually. It's still an ongoing case study. So it is working by itself. And, you know, you're seeing some results, but I guarantee you, if you just did a couple of rebates in there, the results would be a lot different.
I think what I've noticed in the rebates is that it's not necessarily that you stop doing rebates. It's that after people do massive giveaways, they stop all of their external traffic going to their listing. And that's what happens when the keyword goes, you know, when they're not ranking for that keyword anymore, because Amazon's algorithm goes, hey, you were giving me all this external traffic and I was ranking you like crazy, but now people aren't coming to Amazon anymore from off of Amazon to visit your listing. So guess what? We're going to penalize you for that. And so I don't think it's about rebates necessarily. Of course, they're going to help, because not only are you going to get tons of external traffic, you're going to get all these great, you know, sales that go along with it, because it counts as a sale, right? But I don't necessarily think it's all about the rebates. I think it's about the continuing to run external traffic to your listing after you've done that initial launch and you've done giveaways or extreme discounts along with your press release. What do you think about that?
I agree. It really is. I forget who, I think it was Mike McCleary that talks about traffic blitz. You do have to do that. You have to continually do it. Even when you're doing press releases or rebates, you still have to do it. Now, one of the things I like about you know, you can run Facebook traffic or whatever type of traffic that you want. But one of the things I like about the press release is that when you go with a good company, you're going to get 500 links on your site for that particular press release, which Amazon loves. I guess it's the whole external traffic thing. And Google loves, because, you know, Google loves Amazon. Amazon loves Google. It works out that, you know, you start promoting a press release with these keywords, you get seen on Google. You get that external traffic because people typing in at Google see your product on as a press release, and it shows your Amazon listing. So you get kind of hit twice. Without running any Facebook traffic or, you know, any other type of social media traffic. But it is 100%. I agree with you 100%. You do need to continually build up that external traffic.
Yeah, absolutely. Amy hit on exactly what I was going to kind of mention as well, is that, you know, people think of a launch incorrectly, I think. I think, like you said, Norm, I think the correct terminology should be a blitz, where, you know, when you first start out, you should be hitting it extremely hard from all different, you know, areas, PPC, discount promotions, coupons, if rebates, press releases, kind of like my whole thing is, like, I tell people, like, any marketing avenue that you can think of when you launch your product, you want to utilize it. Because the more channels that Amazon sees traffic coming from, the more natural it looks, the better chance you have to not get banned or, you know, get a run through velocity limits and things like that. I think that the more natural, the better. I definitely agree that, you know, it's an ongoing, you know, you should start really, really strong, but then you should taper it off. But, you know, you want that offsite traffic to continue indefinitely. You don't want to turn that spigot off. The cool thing about a press release is it sticks. It's not like, it's not an ad. It's an organic thing that lives on the internet. It's kind of like Pinterest, you know, it's like, once it's up there, it's up there. And, that can, if it's done right, could continually, send you, you know, traffic from Google to your Amazon listing, or even, you know, to your own like Shopify site, or, you know, whatever your goal is I think that, you know, if you're doing that recipe, I think it's going to be hard for you to fail.
I think too, you know, the press release is the gift that keeps on giving, because you can utilize that press release and now create Pinterest pins and Instagram graphics and draw even more attention. You can use that as seen on Fox, as seen on ABC, NBC, you know, all of that. And it really gets a lot of attention for your product, not only on Google, but as much as you want to use that press release. So really smart business and brand owners, they're going to take that press release and they're going to use it across all of their social media channels to create impressive graphics that people are going to be intrigued to click on.
Yeah. And if you're using a video press release, then even better. So you can take the written, or you could take the video press release. And what we do, this is one of the things that we always try to build an e-com site with our brands off of Amazon. And the strategy that we use there is, okay, let's write a press release. Let's write something about research or the benefits or features, something on the press release side. And then we'll write this incredible blog. It's 1500 or 2500 words. And it has the same keywords that is over on the press release side. And we'll send them both out. The press release is linked back to the blog. So what we'll find is we get a little bit of juice there too, because Amazon is searching for knowledge and content, right? Knowledge and education. They see this, and you know, you get your blog, ranked. And what do you put inside your blog? You take the video press release, you put it inside your blog, and now you become the authority of whatever your blog's about. So that's kind of cool. And one of the other things about press releases that you find very quick, even if you do one, like I try to, when I was doing this way before Amazon, I was trying to do a press release, you know, one a month. I'd have these subscriptions, one a quarter, but I'd get my word out there. And now with Amazon, the reason it's so important is you're a micro brand. Who are you? And when somebody types you in, Amy, you were bang on. ABC, NBC, you have all these write-ups. You're the authority of this niche, and you could become a bigger authority, but you look more like a bricks and mortar store than just some person that's got a brand on Amazon.
Yeah, absolutely. Those are great points. And using the old Gary V adage of the content pyramid, right? I mean, that's the great thing about a press release too, is you can even take little excerpts of that and reuse that all over the place, along with, you know, any graphics of websites or television, you know, things that places where that your product's been featured or where that press release has gone and got you traction on.
Thanks for tuning in. Join us every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for live Q&A and bonus content after the recording at sellerroundtable.com. Sponsored by the ultimate software tool for Amazon sales and growth, sellerseo.com and amazingathome.com.